Good morning. Appreciate our brother leading us in those wonderful songs this morning. And that certainly stirred our minds and our hearts as we remember what is of the utmost importance. Remember the sacrifice of our Lord. Good to be here and remember that with you this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, I would invite you to turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. It'll be our text for the lesson this morning, Philippians chapter 2. If anyone out of everyone who has ever lived in the history of this world had a right to be exempt from humility, it was Jesus. The Lord of lords and King of kings, the one who gave his life for us, the one who died and was buried and was exalted to the right hand of God and intercedes for us. The one who hung on the cross for us. If anyone out of everyone who has ever lived has the right to be exempt from humility, it was Jesus. And yet, Scripture holds him as our perfect example, as the ultimate example of what humility is all about. Humility is having a spirit of a lowliness of mind. Not thinking less of ourselves, not a self-depreciation or a sense that we're weak. But it is thinking of self less, a selfless attitude. Putting others more significant than ourselves, counting others' interests and needs more significant than our own. Looking out for other people more than ourselves. In our text this morning in Philippians chapter 2 speaks to us of Jesus having that exact mindset, of Jesus living with humility. Read with me in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation of the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Humility is not a very common characteristic that in the world that we live in today. In fact, many times humility goes completely opposite. It goes in the opposite direction of our world. We live in a world that is constantly wanting to succeed, always wanting the best, wanting to have the best lifestyles, the best careers, wanting to be at the top of the pedestal, if you will. And it doesn't matter who we have to walk over or who we have to trample over just to get there. With all of our accomplishments, all of our accolades, all of our achievements, we want the praise for those things. We want people to recognize that it was all us. Nobody else did this to me. It was me. I'm selfish. I need anyone else's help. Yet Christianity teaches us the very opposite. As we look to Jesus, who is the perfect example of what humility is. Paul tells us that Jesus, the Son of God, who was equal with God in every way, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. In no way is Jesus coming to this earth means that he gave up his deity. John began his gospel in this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him and without him, and not anything made that was not anything made that was made. Jesus is the Word. He is God. He always has been. He always will be. He came to this earth, leaving heaven, and gave his life to suffer and die for sinners like us. And in that we see the perfect example of what humility is all about. You know, it's interesting. Leaders today almost seem unapproachable. I can remember a time when I was in the army that if any hiring officer came to visit us, everything, at least 2 days prior, had to be clean and in shape. The grass had to be cut. The floors had to be waxed, mopped. All that done to this day, so nothing negative could be said about our company. And yet, many times we didn't even see the person who it was. We didn't even know who came to see us. They never checked if we had mopped or waxed our floors. And all that to say is, it's almost that leaders today seem unapproachable. Jesus wasn't like that. He was approachable. He served people. He looked out for the needs of other people. And he gave his life for others. And in that we see what humility is. For our time this morning, I want us to look at the beginning of Jesus' life all the way through the end to see all of his humility. And see every characteristic of how he lived his life with humility. Consider with me this morning his birth. As he was born in a remote part of the world in Bethlehem of Judea. His mother spoke freely of her estate in Luke chapter 1. As she spoke of her humble or her low estate. His earthly father was simply a carpenter as his occupation. They were so poor that when the time came to offer a sacrifice, they had to give them the optional sacrifice according to the law of Moses because they couldn't afford the other one. Luke tells us that as Mary gave birth to her firstborn son, she wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger in a feed trough because there was no room for them at the inn. Luke 2 and verse 7. He had shepherds for his first visitors. And Matthew and Luke record for us all of his birth account, and every bit of it speaks to humility. Consider his earthly circumstances. At the age of 12, he was already about his heavenly father's business. And yet at the same time, remained in complete subjection to his earthly parents. That's something we should take note of. Jesus never failed in perfect obedience in every aspect of his life. And in that we see humility. As after Jesus' baptism, he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit and was tempted by the devil for 40 days and for 40 nights, going without hunger, fasting, something that we couldn't even imagine doing. And yet Jesus remained completely sinless in every way. As he was tempted to turn stones into bread to cure his hunger. And all of that speaks to humility. Can I ask you a question this morning? Where do you live? It's probably so that every one of us here this morning, we have a roof over our head. We have water, electricity, television, cable, and we have all basic necessities. And even more so, you know what Jesus said about his living circumstances? Luke 9, verse 58. Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man has nowhere to live. Jesus was not too proud to work with his hands. And he followed in his earthly father's footsteps in carpentry. But consider this morning the ministry of our Lord. Notice his disciples. We might choose people who could do the most for us, who are successful, who are powerful. You know who Jesus chose? That's his disciples. Fishermen, tax collectors and the like. Consider Jesus' association with people Jesus associated with even the lowly of the world, people who were least despised and rejected of his day. Jesus associated with them. For those who had horrible diseases, who were afflicted, Jesus served and healed those people. You might recall in the book of Leviticus that people with leprosy were completely shunned out of the city that they lived in. They were put aside. Nobody wanted anything to do with them. They were declared unclean. You know what happened when the leper came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 8? We find that as he spoke to Jesus and said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and he touched him. And immediately, he was cleansed. And in that, we see humility. The Pharisees and scribes, over and over through the Gospels, we see over and over, continue to grumble and complain against Jesus because he associated with tax collectors and sinners, because he ate with them. And yet Jesus associated with those people who were least esteemed of his day. In John chapter 4, we see Jesus associating and talking with a woman of Samaria. And as you might know, or you might recall, that Jews and Samaritans had no dealings with each other. And even the woman of Samaria admits this. Yeah, Jesus took time to talk to her, showing his humility as he talked about himself of being the living water. Jesus, it was not beneath our Lord to serve and to look out for those who were least esteemed by the people of his day. In fact, consider with me in turning your Bibles to John chapter 13, as we see Jesus humbly serving his disciples. John chapter 13. The last hours of his life, Jesus has been serving and focusing on other people. And he had every right to focus on himself. And we see his mentality that we spoke of, and that we see in Philippians chapter 2, of doing nothing from selfish ambition and deceit, but in humility, counting others more significant than himself. We see that mentality of Jesus here in John 13. Read with me in verse 1. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin, and began to wash his disciples' feet, and wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him." Jesus, going to be crucified soon, took time to wash the disciples' feet, providing them an example of what humility and serving is all about. And I read that passage over and over again and just am amazed at that humility that he has shown. But even what amazes me even more is that Jesus took time to wash the feet of Judas Iscariot, who would soon betray him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Humility. Consider with me this morning Jesus' humility through his death. The last few hours of his life, in which he would give his life on the cross, we see his humility shine forth. Brother Sewell Hall remarkably states that the washing of the disciples' feet was but the beginning of a 24-hour period of increasingly astonishing displays of humility. Consider the suffering of Jesus, as Isaiah prophesied about Jesus who would be despised and rejected A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I can't begin to imagine the suffering that he went through as he would suffer in such a way. Hebrews 5 and verse 7 tells us, as Jesus was in the garden, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And each time, Jesus ended saying, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Carrying out his Father's will, remaining in obedience. Jesus willingly gave himself into the hands of those who arrested him, even though he said, "Do you not think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels?" He didn't have to go through all the things that he went through, but he did with humility, considering our needs, knowing, remembering exactly why he had come to this earth, to seek and to save that which was lost. As Jesus went through one of the biggest mockeries of a trial, people accusing him of things that were complete lies. Again, Brother Sewell Hall noted that Jesus standing before pompous, petty, yet powerful little rulers, saying not a word to defend himself. Did you see rulers of this or our day doing the same? Again, we see such humility on his behalf, not saying a word as people accuse him of false accusations. Jesus was led away to be crucified upon the cross by Pilate. He was scourged. He was stripped of his clothes. He had a crown of thorns twisted upon his head and a reed put in his hand, all the while soldiers making a mockery out of the very Son of God. He was spit upon, and he was led away to die in one of the most humiliating, cruel, excruciating deaths that man could ever devise. Yet Jesus became obedient through humility to the point of death, even death on a cross, which meant shame. A cross meant shame. The most horrible and painful death, Jesus hung on the cross and suffered for us. He carried his cross all the way to the place where he would be laid down and have nails driven into his hands and feet, and he would suffer and die for us. And in that we see such humility as he gave his life on our behalf. It's no wonder that he spoke of himself in Matthew 11 and verse 29. By saying, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly of heart." And so he was. And I hope that seeing the humility of Jesus reminds us of the cross as we come this morning to partake of the Lord's Supper. I hope that as we do so, it will remind us of what Jesus went through, all the suffering he made on our behalf as he suffered with such humility. Can I ask you a question this morning? What does all that mean? What does all that mean as we come to communion this morning to remember and honor our Lord? What does all that mean to us? What do we see from it? It is here at communion this morning, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, remember his death, burial, and resurrection, that we see so clearly our dependence upon God. We see how much we truly need the Lord and his sacrifice, and where we would be without him. We would be lost and helpless. We see God's love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us and was willing to give his life on our behalf. We see his humility, his selflessness, as he took the cross and shed his blood so that we could be forgiven. As we come to communion this morning and we reflect on Jesus' sacrifice, we see that we too, as we follow in his steps, must live a life of humility. We are to humbly realize that we wouldn't be where we are today if it wasn't for him. We couldn't be forgiven if it wasn't for him. And it's as we come this morning that our pride and self-righteousness are taken out of the way as we see the great price that was paid for our sins upon the cross. May we, as we partake this morning, stand in awe of the love that He's shown for us and the humility that He had to give His life on our behalf.